we're between Christmas and New Year. It's kind of that funky, like, what do? Do we keep eating? Do we start working out? Like, what do? I don't know. But man, I hope you're having a good week. If you're a guest, I want to welcome you. My name is Derek. Man, it is my honor to get to be part of this church family, and we are glad that you're here. We try to be a simple church. It's sometimes challenging, but we do try to be a simple church. We are a church that gathers around the presence of God, not around a band, not around a pastor, not around a vision even, but a people that gather around the presence of God. This is what the Israelites did in the wilderness for years, and this is what we see the New Testament church do after Jesus ascended to be with the Father. And so, man, we hope and pray that today you experience God in some way. That is our hope. As we just sang about giving thanks, and we want to be a people that give thanks, I want to say thank you for all the volunteers, whether it was a parking lot team, whether it was our coffee team. I even hear we had a cider team. That's kind of new and interesting. Host team, cookie team, worship team. If you were on a team that helped make those four Christmas Eve services, I just want to personally say thank you. And can we give them a round of applause just for thanking them and honor them? Had four incredible services where Jesus was lifted up. And man, I was so excited about those evenings and our gatherings together. As we head into the new year, there's usually discussion about change. There's always something about change. And as we head into the new year as a church, I want to draw your attention to one thing that that we started last year, and God willing, we're going to do every year going forward. On January 6th, you can mark your calendars, January 6th, we're going to begin our annual community fast together. Nobody cheered for that. I was like, what's that? Fast? Yeah, that's all right. No, fast, man. We started this last year. We call it Withhold to Behold. Withhold to Behold. And it is our community fast where, as a people, we invite the community as well. It's not just this church. We've invited other people to be part of this. And on this 21-day fast, yes, we're going to stop doing something. I don't know what it is. You need to ask the Lord. Maybe it's a type of food. Maybe it's not eating during certain hours of the day. Maybe it's not getting on social media. I don't know. But you ask the Lord what you need to step away from. But as we step away, we're also beholding. And this is the most important part, that we're not just fasting to stop. We're actually fasting in order that we would see God more clearly. And to help us do this in community, we've got a website, withholdtobehold.com, or you can just go to the CF website and you can click the link there. But I would encourage you over the next couple of weeks to check out this website. It's got a little video giving you a little intro of what the fast is about. We also recognize there's a lot of people that have never fasted before. Unless you've got a doctor's appointment. This is a different kind of fast, right? And so maybe you've never had a spiritual fast before. And so because of that, we put some really great content on there, some questions, some frequently asked questions that people ask. And, you know, what do we do if, man, I saw that cookie and I ate it. Does God hate me now? Like, what do I do in that moment? And so we put some great content on there. I would love for you to engage with this. And then January 6th, whatever you decide, man, I'm going to not do this for 21 days. I would love for you to engage with our community as we have a daily devotional that's going to be on that website, or you can sign up to get it on your phone. We're going to be praying together into the same things. And then what's different this year that Jason and I are really excited about is Monday through Friday during the fast. So 15 days, Monday through Friday, Saturday, Sunday, not so much. Then the next Monday through Friday, we're going to have worship and prayer here in this room from 6 to 8 p.m. Now, let me just give you a heads up on this. It's not a service, all right? So just kind of brainwash what you're thinking it could be. It's literally, we're going to gather in this room. You can come and go. It's not a service. It's not 2 hours. I got to be there. It's 5 minutes. You want to come for 5 minutes or 2 hours? Whatever. We're going to gather in this room with two things. Number one, we're going to pray. First of all, we are a house of prayer. Can somebody say amen to that? Like, man, we are a people of prayer. We believe that God hears and that he responds to us. And so we are going to pray. We're going to have some different prayer leaders each night, not like we do our ministry time, but just praying to the Lord over our church, over our community. And then we're also going to be ministering to the Lord through music. And here's the good news, is because there's no service schedule, we're hoping just to come and make much of Jesus to Jesus. So it's not about having 700 people here. If there's 700 people, that would be fun. But if there's one sitting in the front row, or if there's none, I'm going to tell you our worship team and those that are leading prayer are going to go after it, just like if this room was filled, because that's what we believe God's called us to. And so, man, I would love for you to make some plans, though, to stop in one of those evenings, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8, only during the fast, during those 21 days. I believe this 21 days is going to be life-changing. I've heard lots of stories from people last year that engaged in this fast. Man, I've heard from different things that somebody gave up spitting tobacco. That was a huge thing for them. They never started again, by the way. First time in their life, well, since they were probably 16, I don't know. They stopped chewing. We had people give up alcohol. We had people give up some food during certain times. Some people social media. So I don't know what it is, but I believe that as we draw near to God, what is the promise in James? That God will draw near to us, right? Yes, he pursues us, but man, he invites us to seek him out too. And so I am excited about this fast, and I hope you will prayerfully consider joining us. Now today is a little different structure. I'm going to give a little sermonette, like I call it. It's a much smaller sermon than normal. We're going to finish the day and finish the year out with some additional worship where we're making much of Jesus, because we know from the scripture that God loves music. Anybody else love music in here? Like, I love music. And so today, it's short and sweet. I'm going to try to get to the point. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel, all the way in the back of the Bible, Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Now, as you're turning there, today really what I want to talk about is I want to talk about being open to change. Now as we change years, and even more significantly, as we change decades, by the way, just imagine where you were 10 years ago, 2010. I can tell you my wife is glad I'm not the same man that I was then that I am now. Amen to that. Any other wives in here excited about that? Right? Yeah, somebody a little too loud on that one. That's all right. But man, think about what happened in the last 10 years. Man, our family, we've had 2 kids in the last 2 years. Like, we moved from Ohio to Houston to outskirts of Houston all the way to Kingsport, Tennessee. Didn't even know where it was at. In 10 years, like, so much has happened. And so now we're on the cusp of a new decade. And I don't know about you, but I want even more and better for my life in 2020 than I have right now. Anybody else want that? Like, I believe that God puts us that desire in us. And I actually believe that we're wired in our DNA to want to do better. I think we're actually wired to want to grow and do things better. That's why we're not still gathering a fire and saying, ooh, and ah, now we have a microwave. Thank you, Jesus, right? Like, we're called to grow, to ascend. This is what God has put in us. And here's the thing, though. To do that, there's this thing that's required, and it's called change. What we see is for transformation to take place, there's got to be change. And so, man, I don't know what you're hoping to change in this next decade. Maybe physically you want to be healthier. You want to get your heart healthier. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to change the way you eat and work out. Maybe your marriage, you're like, man, I want to see my marriage transformed. Like, it's a 4, maybe a steady 4. I want to get it to an 8 in 2020. I'm going to tell you, you can't do the same things that got you a 4 to get you to an 8. And here's really the underlying truth today, is that what got you to today is not going to get you to where God wants you tomorrow. Transformation is what God desires in your life. Now, we don't like change very much, and that's one of the reasons why I think we like God so much, right? Because he doesn't change, right? He is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. And so he's unchangeable, immutable. His nature does not change. But here's the challenging part of following Jesus. You actually, when you say, I'm going to follow Jesus, I give my life to you, you are signing up for a transformation life. A life where the Holy Spirit in us is leading us, guiding us, directing us, convicting us, and changing us from the inside out, where we are being molded more and more into the image of our King Jesus. And so part of following Jesus is this fact that I am going to have opportunities to change, to be transformed, to become all that God designed me to be. Does that sound familiar? That's our vision, right? And so today I want to talk about change a little bit, but I want to look at a story that we see in the Old Testament that doesn't get a little airtime. It's a battle that David is leading. Now, David has become king, and some people have found out about this, and so I'm going to read this text from 2 Samuel chapter 5, starting in verse 17. It says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it, and he went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up against the Philistines? So he asked the Lord, will you give them into my hand? That's a great question when you're in battle. God, is this of you? Are you going to give me the victory? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hands. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood. Doesn't that sound incredible? Like, wouldn't you want the enemy of your soul, to have this said about them, that the Lord broke through the enemy of my soul before me like a breaking flood. Somebody say, that sounds good, right? It says, therefore, the name of this place shall be called Baal Perazim. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. Now, look what happens in verse 22. You see a very similar scenario. It says, and the Philistines came up yet again. So they came up again, and they spread out again in the same valley, the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go up this time. Go around to the rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself, prepare yourself, for then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the enemy of the Philistines. And David did as the Lord commanded him and struck down the Philistines. Now, why am I talking about this little story today? Like, what is significant about the story? Why are we chatting about this? I want to give you just a little commentary and a few observations on why I wanted to talk about this today. And number one is we see David, man, he is in a battle. He inquires of the Lord. The Lord tells him what to do. He gets a victory. Now, just recently or just shortly after that, he gets to the same field, the same valley, the same enemy. They're coming in. Now, if I was like David or if David was like me, he would have said, you know what? I've seen this before. I've seen the same enemy, the Philistines. They're coming. I've been in the same valley, and I already heard what the Lord said last time to do. How many of you would just do the same thing you did last time? Anybody else besides me? Right? But we got to recognize that David doesn't assume that the Lord is going to bring him victory the same way that he brought him victory yesterday. And I think what we can gather here is that the Lord wants to bring you victory, yes, but he's not going to bring you the victory the same way as he always has in the past. Are y'all tracking with me? What I want you to see is that just because God did something in 2019 and brought victory through a temptation or brought victory through a struggle, doesn't mean that he's going to do the exact same thing in the exact same way in 2020. And I would even say this, just because in your life you have a friend that went through a struggle and they found victory and the Lord brought them through it, and now you find yourself going through a very similar battle, it looks like at least, that doesn't mean the Lord's going to work in your situation exactly like he did in their situation. Because if we believe that God always works in our situations the same as he does in the past, that requires no relationship at all. That requires me just going through the motions, and that's not what God desires. And so first we see that David doesn't assume that he knows what the Lord's going to say, but then he does something that I think is really, really interesting in both of these. And to me, as I look at David as a man after God's own heart, a person, I hope that one day that people say that about me, that my kids would say that about me. As I look at David's life, there's a few things that I see, and in this text we see three things that David does that I think will propel us into 2020 if we would do this. Number one, it says, as he recognized the battle, he inquired of the Lord. He inquired of the Lord both times. It says he inquired of the Lord. You know what that means? Real simply, he went to God and prayed. God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And so we see David, he had a lifestyle where he would be in the presence of God and he would ask God questions, mark time and time again. You go read Psalm 27 if you want to follow up with this message, and you'll see the one thing that David asked for, the one thing that he sought after, was to dwell in the house of the Lord, to be in his presence, and to inquire in his temple. This is what David's lifestyle was. And I believe this is why he was a man after God's own heart, is he asked the Lord a lot of questions. And why is that significant for 2020? Well, number one, when we ask the Lord questions, this is what happens. Number one, it engages our faith. When I go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know the answer, but I believe you do. What I'm doing is I'm expressing faith that God, first of all, you will receive me. Man, we could stop right there. God, you receive me. You invite me to your table to talk to you. And then also, I'm in faith. I'm asking because I'm expecting you to answer me. And so we engage in our faith. And what does Hebrews teach us about faith? It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And so, man, in 2020, if you want to engage your faith, man, it begins with inquiring of the Lord. And as we inquire the Lord, yes, it engages our faith, but it also postures us with humility. It makes me actually get to a point where I say, God, you know, I might be fronting on all these people that I know what I'm doing. I put a good front in front of everybody that I got this figured out, that I know how to lead my organization, that I make good decisions, that I know how to somehow raise my kids. But Lord, here's the reality. I don't know what I'm doing. I think we would actually get a lot further in the 2020 if we could humble ourselves and we could tell the Lord, God, I don't know what to do, but you do. And so first David, he inquires of the Lord. And why I think that's so important is that when we inquire of the Lord, when we ask him questions, what does that do? It gets our eyes on him and we draw near to him, which is where God wants us, right? And so David, the first battle and the second battle, he inquired of the Lord. But look what happened the second time, or the second thing he did. He actually listened and he received. Listen, I don't know about you, but it's much easier to talk to God and tell him all my problems than actually listen. Anybody else agree with that? Like, it's easy to say, God, man, these referees, they are horrible. Please forgive me, but they are just, Then for me to be in a situation where I tell him the truth about how I feel, my perspective, but then I do the harder work of actually settling myself down, quieting myself before the Lord, and start looking for him to speak to me. And I believe the key for us in this next decade as a church and as individuals is, yes, to inquire of the Lord, but for us to learn and to cultivate a life where we actually are more and more aware of how God is speaking through other people, through this incredible word that he's given us, through prayer, through the Spirit, through whatever, that we would become more aware of God so that we can do the third thing that David does. What's he do, the third thing? So he hears the Lord. He inquires, he hears, and then the third thing that he did in both battles is that David did as the Lord commanded. The third thing that we see David do is he obeyed. Woo! Man, it's one thing if, man, I ask the Lord a question, and then I hear, okay, Derek, go do this, but you know, until I actually step up and go do that, I'm not going to see the fruit, I'm not going to see the breakthrough, I'm not going to see the Lord bring a victory in my life until I actually humble myself, ask, receive, and then actually align myself with the Lord. And that's why I love that we are doing a fast this year, to start the year. Because as I think about a fast, I think about that it is a means to inquiry. It's a means to asking. So what do we do as a fast? We're coming together as a community, and we're getting before the Lord and saying, God, I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to ask you questions over these 21 days. And I'm going to have my eyes open, and I'm going to look for you. I'm going to seek you out. And what we know in the scripture is that those that ask what? They receive. Those that seek, find. And those that knock, those that keep on knocking, says the door is open to us. And what I love about Jesus is this is the life that he showed us. Man, he lived a life where he inquired of his Father, Father, what are you doing? And it says that Jesus, he heard the Father. And as he heard the Father, he obeyed the Father, even unto death. This is the life of a follower of Jesus. You say, Derek, this is really foundational. I would say it is foundational. Like, this is the nuts and bolts to our faith. This is how we move from one level to the next, is I'm going to ask the Lord in my marriage, Lord, like, this is really hard. He's like, yeah, I told you that. Paul told you it's going to be hard. And then we say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Humble ourselves. And then we rest. And we listen. We pursue the Lord in the word. We get around other people that are following Jesus. And we open up ourselves to hear from the Lord. And maybe, like, in my circumstance and seasons have been hard, maybe it's just like, hey, go make the bed really well today. You say, would God say that? He's told me that before. Hey, you know what? I felt this nudge, and maybe it was just me or maybe the Spirit, but you know what? Your wife, you need to take her on a date this week. And you step out and you do it. And it's doing something we haven't done before. It's called change, but change brings transformation. So what would 2020 look like if we were a people, if you were a leader, if you were an individual, that the first thing you did in 2020 was you asked the Lord some questions. God, what are you doing in this situation? What do I need to know in this situation that I view as a struggle, a challenge? And then that we actually listen. We set our eyes on him. And then as we hear, we have this incredible obedience to just step out in faith and follow him. I believe just like David experienced victories and battles, that you and I will see breakthroughs like we sang about earlier. Man, breakthrough's coming. It is coming because Jesus is coming in your life. He's opening up. But here's the thing. We got to learn how to receive breakthrough.